The good shepherd seeks his sheep, amen, that they may be found. Is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We have been sought because we have been loved, and we are loved by God, amen. 2,000 years of church in the Holy Spirit through the hands and feet of people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, have reached out to me, and I'm here today because the church reached out. Thank you. We continue in our series this morning, A Mother's Heart. And Sammy, I'm getting quite a bit of feedback up here. If you could turn it down on the stage a little bit. We're continuing in our series of called The Good News of the Kingdom. And moms, we're so glad you're here. And we thank God for the influence that you have had in our lives. I got to hug my mommy today. Many of you cannot and didn't get a chance to. I am blessed. And you know, thinking about the weekend with Dick and Ella and all of the things that I wish I would have told him, that I was just thinking this morning, I never did say that. I meant to say it, but I never did. Don't let time get away before you say what's on your heart to your mommy. Amen? If you still have a chance to do that, give her a call. I was standing in line on the end cap at County Market yesterday, and a woman came up and she was in distress. She said, "What do you say to a mom who locked you in a room for 5 years and beat the out of you?" She said, "But I stand here every day to give a card. I stand here every year and pick out a card and send a token card." And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I said, "I'm sorry. But I had a great mom. I have a great mom, and my relationship with her is good. And I wish it was that way for you." So don't let time get away before you tell your mom thanks. And I love you, Mom. We're talking today about a mother's heart. And you know, there's moms in Scripture. And we're going to spend some time looking at a mother, the mother of James and John this morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 22 through 23. I'd like to read some scripture there as we get oriented this morning. But first, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among people. You know, we prayed for healing for Dick. I remember standing beside his hospital bed. You remember 6-7 years ago, they had a flat tire while they were coming to church on a Sunday morning. Had a flat tire up here by the arch, and Dick, being well, you know, able, well in body and mind, jumped out of the car and moved a spare tire out of the way, and he had to get his toolbox out, and he grabbed that 70-pound toolbox and he pulled on it, and something gave way in his brain. And he never regained full function of his right side. But I remember the day that he came through that doorway with minimal assist. And remember, we came together and we prayed for healing. And you know, sometimes when we pray for healing, God says, I will, but not like how you see it. And he has been healed. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate BJ this morning because he asked me, he said, did Dick pass away? And I know a couple weeks ago you pushed him out in the wheelchair and pushed him in, and I appreciate that. Everybody's had a hand in being part of their lives. I appreciate it so much. He's kind of like a father or grandfather to all of us, right? And he asked today if Dick had passed away, and I said yes. And he said, well, today Dick is dancing, and he did a little dance right out there. Aww. Yes, he's got full function of his feet. Yeah. And God has healed. Yeah. We get so focused on our timeline without realizing that God may have larger plans than we ever thought. And hasn't God taught us a lot in the last 6 years that I think lessons that we would have missed or hadn't learned without seeing them walk through that doorway every Sunday? Rain or shine, whether he felt good or not, he didn't resist Ella. Ella got him up for 6 years. They were here, and they taught us. Not only did they teach us the value of keeping on, keeping on, but they taught us as married couples how to love till the end. Amen? Wow. I told Ella last night, I said, you know, you could have just laid him down here in the bed and he could have spent the remaining days of his life after the stroke surrounded by walls and the TV. But I said, you got him up and took him everywhere. And he couldn't have done that without her. And his life was full, and because of that, our lives have been blessed and have been full. And we have seen God work in and through them. And I feel blessed this morning. I'm sad, but I feel blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We mourn today because we have loved. And we have been loved. So he's been healed. Matthew records a great deal of what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. In fact, if you'll turn from all the way from the beginning, Matthew chapter 5, all the way to Matthew chapter 25, chapters 5 through 7, chapter 13, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 25, all records Matthew recording Jesus' words about the kingdom of God. Today we thank God for our mothers who gave their lives, not just in getting kids raised, but in most importantly, sharing with us through their very lives the good news of the kingdom of God. Last Sunday we talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And next Sunday we'll talk about the third beatitude, or the second, blessed are those who mourn. By the way, it appears that Dick's funeral will be Wednesday at the Princeton Church of the Nazarene, New Hope Church of the Nazarene. And the visitation, we believe, will be Tuesday night at a funeral home there. I was met with the funeral director last night, and they're going to meet today to make the final arrangements. So the Princeton Church will be hosting, and of course, if you would like to prepare a dish for the luncheon, that would be wonderful. And I know several of us will be going down, so if you're not able to attend the funeral, please, I'll just put you in touch with our stewards, Shelley and Jennifer and Stephanie and Brittany, to make sure that your dish to pass, if you'd like to do that, gets there. And we appreciate that very much. There's some gifts up here for our mothers. And be sure this morning, if you're a mother, to pick one up before you go. We want to honor you and appreciate the life that you have lived, showing us Jesus. So today we focus on a mother who gave her life to share the good news of the kingdom of God. Don't you love that? She not only got her kids raised, James and John, but she made it a point to make sure that they understood the good news of the kingdom of God. You see, life is more about than just getting our kids raised. Amen? It's more than about just putting food on the table and about putting a roof over their head. It's about introducing them to Jesus. Amen? So that they know the good news of the kingdom. Mothers are many things, not to the exclusion of fathers, but mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians, and I mean fathers are these things as well. That might have come out wrong. Mothers are providers. Mothers are nurses. Mothers are doctors. The best laid plans go to ruin. Mothers are psychologists. Mothers are counselors. Mothers are chauffeurs. Mothers are coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities. Mothers are molders of vocabularies. Mothers are shapers of attitudes. Mothers are voices quietly whispering in our ear, I love you. I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Hearing that beautiful baby cry. Have you met my new granddaughter this morning? There she is, Avery. She's got her hand up. She says, yeah, yeah. She'll be 2 weeks old tomorrow, and we're a little proud. And these little ones who are around here are just music to our ears. Amen. Mm. Such beautiful, complexly simple masterpieces of God. Amen? Oh, my heart is full this morning. All the roles that mothers play in our lives and fulfill. Well, Mrs. Zebedee, let me introduce you to Mrs. Zebedee. She was the mother of James and John. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it that you want? He asked, and she said, grant that one of these two of my sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can. They answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus about the kingdom. She'd been watching Jesus and making sure that Jesus was who he said he was. She wasn't going to entrust the future of her kids to just anybody, not even to some rising young superstar. No matter what the people said, she wanted to see for herself. And what she saw in Jesus was that everything that they'd been saying in the synagogues for centuries, when Jesus stood in the synagogues and began to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, something in her heart said, this is he. And so she began a quest to make sure that her sons, James and John, got as close to Jesus as she could possibly get them. Amen. Amen. Amen, mothers. Thank you for doing that Mom, thank you. He didn't just cook awesome meatloaf. On Tuesday nights when we could watch Happy Days.
Yes, Happy Days.
It's my favorite night of the week. Hey. My mom introduced me to Jesus, and it was her quest to make sure I got as close to Jesus as I could get. See, raising kids is not just about cooking awesome meatloaf. Amen? It's about making sure my kids get as close to Jesus as they could get. My glasses aren't working very good. Yeah. She was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, she wanted her sons to have positions of authority. But in the first part of the same chapter, Jesus tells a story that must have disturbed her. And if you'll back up there in Matthew 20, you'll see what I'm talking about. It was a story about a landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning. And they agreed, those laborers, to a fair day's wage. And they started working early. And they put all their effort in, and they did well. Then at noon, the landowner went back to the place where the people who were unemployed were standing, and he said, I need some more guys, and he signed some more on, and they went to the vineyard and worked, and they worked hard. Then he saw that sunset was approaching, and he went back another time, and he said, I've got an hour's work for you guys. Will you come work for an hour? And they did. So you got three groups of guys or people who worked that day. Some worked from sunrise to sunset. Some worked from noon to sunset. Some worked for an hour. At the end of that day, the landowner came and he began to pull out his money bag and he began to lay it out and he began to pay those who had worked all day the wage that they had agreed on, and then he paid the other two groups the same amount of money. And the disciples were like, and those, the parable goes on and explains the outrage that those who had worked all day, they felt betrayed because they felt that they had to work much harder for the amount of money that those who had only worked an hour for. And Jesus began to share that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so it must have been difficult for James and John's mother to reconcile that fact about the realities of the kingdom. And yet she wanted her sons to be as close to Jesus as she could get them. She wanted her sons to get in on the ground floor, and yet she probably realized through this parable that this was a life of sacrifice. Can you hear me all the way back? That when we dedicate our children to the Lord and when we encourage them to give their hearts as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, it is not an easy life. Amen? It is a life of sacrifice. But you know what? She knew enough to know that praying for an easy life was the wrong prayer for her boys. She knew that the right prayer for her boys was to get her boys as close to Jesus as she could get them. I think sometimes we pray the wrong prayers, don't we? Lord, make it easy. When we ought to pray, Lord, draw them close. We might well criticize Mrs. Zebedee. Everybody say Zebedee. It's just a fun word. Zebedee. I love it. If I had to change my name, it wouldn't be to Zebedee. I could tell you that. But we could kind of criticize her for her presumptuousness. It's kind of like, you know, we could see Peter doing this, right? Sticking his foot in his mouth and say, "Can I sit at your right hand? Can I sit by you? Can I be next in charge?" But since it's Mother's Day, let's look at the positives in Mrs. Zebedee. We need to recognize that she came to Jesus. And while Jesus did not grant her request, he didn't deny it either. He simply reminded her of the cost of what it meant to be seated next to Jesus. What it meant to be close to him. What it meant to live life following him. Now there's some good things about Mrs. Zebedee. A lot of good things. First of all, she came to the Lord praying that her sons might be part of his kingdom. I can think of no more important task of motherhood than that, than to seek to ensure that your children are a part of the kingdom of God. I know that many mothers pray. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy, but rather extremely difficult. Little Avery's had her days and nights mixed up for almost 2 weeks now. But hey, it's beautiful, right? I mean, but it's hard. Paul said last night, or this morning when he walked in, he said, last night was a little better. She was only up a couple times. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. But man, it can be hard. I remember what it was like raising little ones. And I can remember thinking, I don't know how single parents do it. And we bless you, single parents, for the sacrifice you're making to raise your kids. It's got to be incredibly hard. I can remember laying in bed and thinking, I can't get up. But my wife would get up, Jeanette would get up, and once in a while, you know, I would help her out. She paid an awesome price to be Paul and Alyssa's mother. James Dobson tells about a time that he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby. It had been a terrible day. Ryan had been sick and he'd cried all day. Once as she was changing his diaper, the telephone rang and Shirley reached over to answer it. And before she got it fastened up, well, you know what happened. An explosion. She cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she took him into the living room and fed him. And as she was burping him, he threw up all over her and her and him and the couch. And Dobson writes, he came home that day. As he opened the door, he could smell motherhood. Shirley cried out to him. She said, I don't remember signing up for this. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes mothers pray just out of the frustration of it all. Praying that God will bless their kids or even themselves with a good life. Praying that God will ease the pain. Praying that their needs will be met and that he will bless. None of us want our kids to go through hard times. And we want them to be successful. But what good is it if our children are successful in making money, driving great cars, living in good neighborhoods, if they don't know God? What does it matter if they gain the whole world, Jesus says, but lose their own soul? You know, it all comes down to a moment when we step over a threshold from this life into the next. And what we're talking about here may or may not resonate this morning, but I guarantee it resonates as we stand beside the bedside of one that we love. I was reading with Dick on Friday night from the Psalms, where we read, "Deliver me from my distress. Deliver me from my afflictions. Into your hands I commit your spirit. I commit my spirit." And I could see agreement in Dick's eyes. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm just in that transition." And as his body was shutting down and resisting, his spirit was at peace. See, ultimately, we all will face the question of where we will spend eternity. And whether this makes sense, what we're talking about now or not, someday it will become crystal clear that everything that's being shared here is everything there is. All the things that we spend our priority time looking at and processing and doing and accomplishing, Jesus said, what good is it if you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Being a parent's not easy. It is difficult. But Mrs. Zebedee gives us a valuable example. She prayed earnestly that her kids would be part of the kingdom of God. Oh, don't we share that same concern for our kids? I hope that in every heart of every father and mother here this morning, there's a burden to go to the throne on behalf of our kids, to pray for our children. None of us are all that excited about living a life or sacrifice because there's pain associated with it. There's suffering associated with it. But there is joy and there is blessing. That's what the Beatitudes are all about. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, we want the blessing without the pain. We want the blessing without the suffering. We want the blessing without the need. But God says, in the need, in the suffering, in the hurt, in the pain, you will be blessed because you will see God. God, lift the veil from our eyes. We have been blessed. But help us see you. And Lord, if it's the life of suffering that you're calling us through, we will go because we will follow. We will follow you. She wanted her sons to be true disciples who make disciples. She was already catching it early in this gospel. She's realizing that Jesus has come to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples, and that he was preparing a group of guys to carry on the work, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And she wanted her sons to be disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. She wanted her sons to be more than just spectators. To see the kingdom of God from afar or to read about it in a book. She wanted them to experience it. Amen? Amen? To experience what it meant to walk close enough to Jesus that you could hear him breathe. That you could feel his pain. That you could sense his care. Let's make sure our kids get that. Amen? She wanted more for her kids than for them just to be followers and showing up She wanted her kids to be walking with Jesus. There's a difference there. You see, even Peter followed Jesus. Early in his life, he followed Jesus, but there were times that he was like, okay, the cross, I don't know about that, and he followed from afar. There's so much more to being a disciple of Jesus than being saved. Everybody okay? That may run cross-grain against some theologies this morning. But there's more to being a disciple of Jesus Christ than being saved. As awesome as that is, I mean, Jesus paid for that with his own blood. But he paid for even more than that. He paid for the beautiful opportunity for you and me and the privilege of you and me to share the good news of the kingdom. To be a disciple who makes disciples. To share it with our kids. And make sure that our kids are not just following from a distance, but they get as close to Jesus. They get his autograph. Not just sitting in the back, arms crossed, watching everybody else do their thing while they remain unattached. James and John's mother was like, you get up there. They're as close as you can. Here, let me clear the way for you. Here, you, step aside. Jesus, these are my boys. James and John. And Jesus, if you would have them, I want one of them to sit on your right and I want one of them to sit on your left when you enter your kingdom. Bing. That was a great point. That's what I wanted to make this morning. Thank you, moms, for making sure we're getting close to Jesus. But for all of us, we have the great privilege and responsibility of helping the people in our lives get as close to Jesus as we can. That's making disciples. That's not just leaving it to chance, amen? That's not saying, well, maybe he'll cross this way. Maybe you'll get a chance to see him, you know. We'll leave it to chance, and of course it'll be up to you whether or not. No. I don't see that in James and John's mother. She's making her boys disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? She is introducing them to Jesus. And she's announcing the good news of the kingdom into their lives. She doesn't want them to miss it. The real work of the church is to make disciples who make disciples. Our work is not to come and hold a seat. By the way, we're going to put a chair there after today where Dick always sat. Because, not because we want to move on and forget, but because he would want that place filled. Amen. With the disciple of Jesus. Right. Amen? Amen? Your mother was probably your first mentor. Mine was. Would you pray about who you will mentor? And would you allow God to place a few people on your life, in your life, and on your heart that you will do everything you can to get them as close to Jesus as you can possibly get them. Amen. Don't you love that? God's brought several guys into the barber shop that I can feel God's thumb in my back to begin to invite them to men's groups. See, we're packed out in our barber shop on Saturday mornings, and there's no room for more guys. So Bill is, we're cell multiplying. We're growing. Amen. And what we're doing is we're making more room for more people to know Jesus as we begin more groups. But I can feel God's thumb in my back, and I have already started throwing out hooks, inviting guys to come. We have a little Bible study on Saturday mornings here in the barber shop. Really? Yeah, you're always welcome. And you know what? I have them pretty well captive for a little while. Kind of like the dentist. I don't want to turn them off, but I want to make sure they know the good news of the kingdom. The first person I led to the Lord Jesus Christ was my neighbor when I was about 10 years old. Johnny Flynn was his name. He had just lost his grandmother, and he came up to play, and I can remember standing in the garage. And I can remember him talking about losing his grandmother. And I can remember talking to him about the Lord Jesus and about heaven and how God's plan for each of us is to know him and spend eternity in heaven with him. I didn't just do that because it was an accident. I did that because my folks taught me that to be a disciple is to make disciples and to get as close to Jesus as I could get and to bring as many people as close to Jesus as I can. Amen. That's why we love Dick so much. He didn't say much there in the last 6 years, but he had the power of presence, didn't he? I could look at him at any time during the sermon and I knew he was tracking with me. He was right with me. And I told him many times, I can't preach a lick when you're not here. We miss him, but you know we're happy for him. Amen. He's with Jesus, made it all the way home. Where does this missionary spirit begin? Well, it begins at home with our fathers and our mothers, setting the example, praying for our sons and daughters that they would be not just involved in the kingdom, but that they would be just as close to Jesus as they could get. They just wouldn't be church attenders or church members or but they would be as close to Jesus as fully devoted followers of him and his mission and his will. And that like him, they too would go into the world and reach out to the lost and bring them in. Bring them in. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved in the work of his kingdom, and we need to walk in her footsteps. And finally, Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations. I like that. Just walking up to Jesus just as bold as anything and asking if they could sit on either side of him in the kingdom. mothers can do that. Bill was talking about this earlier this morning about how daughters, you know, just can twist their dad's heart. You need a pair of shoes? Well, how about three, honey? Man, those of us who are fathers of daughters know it. And sorry, sons. It's easy for us as guys, as fathers, to say no to you. It's hard for us to say no to our girls. Sorry, it's just the way it is. So when Mrs. Zebedee walked forward and got right up to Jesus and said, "Grant that one of my sons would sit on your left and one of them would sit on your right," can't you just feel what it did to the heart of God? I am going to bless that prayer. I can hear God saying it. It may not be how you think it ought to look and everything, but I see your heart, and I want your kids to be as close to Jesus as they possibly can get. And so we have it. James and John, pillars in the church. There's churches named after them. There's movements named after them. It's time for some of us as well to take our positions at the right and left hand to become the leaders that God has called us to be. You know, one of the thoughts that I had as I was driving back from Princeton last night was, who's going to take his place? Who's going to be the leader that he was in our church? Amen? I already feel the vacuum, and I already feel people saying, yeah, I see the need for the spiritual strength and example in life. I admire her boldness, Mrs. Zebedee's. But let's not settle for mediocrity in the church. Our kids can show up and still not be happy. And we may not be able to fix that. And we can hope that somehow this will be a magic moment. But it just doesn't work like that in the kingdom. Here's a mom who got on her knees before God and brought her kids to Jesus. And they're like, "Mom, grief, give me a little space here." I mean, wouldn't James and John be a little embarrassed? I mean, they're grown men. Hello? Grown men, their mother, Jesus, get over here. Get over here, boys. Come to Jesus. We're going to have a come to Jesus moment. Mothers, you have the authority to bring your kids to Jesus. Amen? It's your role and responsibility. And dads, not to the exclusion of dads. That sounded better, didn't it? It's your responsibility as well. My responsibility. Our responsibility. Amen? To make disciples. Who make disciples. Who make disciples. Some of you are looking forward to the summer schedule more than others because I will be confined to a shorter sermon. I'm coming in for a landing. Today we recognize that mother's love is probably the closest example that we have ever seen to God's love. It is a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life to us. It's a love that sacrifices itself over and over again and would even dare to lay her life down for her own offspring. The story is told of out of World War II and the Holocaust that took millions of lives, of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. This is a true story. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, you will be exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, who had always been frail as a child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back to the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and did not see those familiar faces, and he finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping, and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Josh turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said. "When they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. And Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David,' and she took his hand and went with him." That's the heart of a mother. Willing to lay our lives down to get our kids as close to Jesus as we can possibly get them. I pray that if you have felt that you have had to walk through the valley alone so many times, I pray that today you will recognize and feel the hand of God in your life. Whether you had a great experience with your mom or not, God's heart is extended to you and to me. And the good news of the kingdom is you're not alone. I love you. You can't change it. No matter what you go through, I'll feel your pain. And I'll do everything I can, everything, to see that you make it. He extends his loving invitation to each of us. In the same way that the mother opens the doors of home and prepares a meal and says, "Come, sit down. Let's just be together and share." And the heart of the mother reflects that of the heart of God. "I have prepared a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, because where I am, I want you to be there too." How wonderful to hear those words. I'm sure Brother Dick Mankey is having a great time in heaven this morning. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You finished well." well done. May that be what rings in our mind as we make every decision. Amen. Thank you, mothers, fathers, not to the exclusion of fathers. Thank you. Showing us the heart of God and for getting us as close to Jesus as we could possibly get. Sometimes we resisted. But when life comes crashing down, and it always does, thank you, Mom, because what you gave us cannot be taken away. Thank you. Worship team, would you come as we pray? Father, we thank you today that we have been able to sit at your feet and to hear and to listen to the heartbeat of God. And that this heartbeat beats in the hearts of mothers. And you have given us the wonderful opportunity to feel your heartbeat in the heart of our mother. Thank you, Lord, for the experiences of our life, that whether we had a great experience with our mom or not, that we can come here today and be thankful that maybe even through the pain, in an amazing way, you've still shown us your heart. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the grace that you extend into each of our lives. We think we got this. And then we get so much on our plate, we realize we're not doing a very good job. We need help. We've dropped some things, and we need you to step in and take over. So, Lord, thank you. You've covered it all and paid the price. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand one more time? Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you love me? It's amazing. Is it true that you are thinking of me?